Well, I chose that song for a couple of reasons. Number one, I want it on Sunday. So if I know at least a handful of us know it, that's good. Well, number two, it is, of course, from Isaiah. That bit there is returning, referring to the return of God's people from exile to the land of Judah. And where we are tonight in chapter 7, we're beginning to get to the prophecy of that exile. And it's worth remembering that although God, in the prophet Isaiah, is declaring judgment upon Judah and Israel, he is also planning for their redemption. We've sung about the redemption, we are going to read about the judgment. So in verses 18 and 19 of chapter 7, the Lord is whistling for the flies of Egypt and the bees of Assyria. In other words, the Egyptians and the Assyrians would be used to judge the people of God. In verse 20, we get rather graphic imagery of a barber shop. You may have noticed I patronised one of my own today. That, of course, in verse 20 is a humiliation for the people of God. But let's look at verse 21. It shall be in that day that a man will keep alive a young cow and two sheep. So it shall be from the abundance of milk they give that he will eat curds. For curds and honey everyone will eat who is left in the land. It shall happen in that day that wherever there should be 1,000 vines worth 1,000 shekels of silver, it will be for briars and thorns. With arrows and bows men will come there, because all the land will become briars and thorns. And to any hill which could be dug with the hoe, you will not go there for fear of briars and thorns, but it will become a range for oxen and a place for sheep to roam. Well, what a strange passage. And for anybody interested in agriculture, you think, well, that doesn't sound too bad. But in fact, what we have here is a further pronunciation of judgment on the people of Judah. So in that day, what day? The day of judgment, specifically for Israel, that day of exile. We know that a number of people will be carried off, if you're familiar with the beginning of the book of Daniel. Daniel and his friends are carried off into Judah, and we call that the exile. Isaiah, the words of whom we sang before, also prophesies the return. But here we're at the beginning of it. But some people are left behind. The very poorest people, the meanest people, are left behind. And in that day, a man will keep alive a young cow and two sheep. Well, one man keeping a young cow and two sheep is probably not going to make a huge profit on that farm, is he? He might just about keep himself alive. And I think the point here is that the land is going from arable agriculture to pastoral, because arable requires a bigger labour force. Pastoral, of course, you can cope with fewer people. And there are not going to be many people left in the land. And those that remain will run these very small kind of farms, if you can call them farms, with very few animals on. And it shall be from the abundance of milk they give that he will eat curds. Now again, curds, kind of congealed milk. Not entirely unpleasant. Perhaps not my first choice in the restaurant. But for curds and honey, everyone will eat who is left in the land. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we considered the previous section where Messiah is promised. In verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat. Well, once again now, we have reference to curds and honey. Isn't it strange that even within the same chapter, even within the same prophecy, we get reference to this rather peculiar diet? And I suggested a couple of weeks ago there might be two explanations for it. Number one, it was to show that the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, would be a real and an ordinary human being. Ordinary in as much as he was in a real body. Clearly not ordinary in as much as he was also the God who made the universe. But he would eat food. Some Christians in the early church kind of wondered, was he really a man? Did he just pretend to be a man? No, he was a man. he ate. But also, some have suggested that, curds and honey are the kind of things that poor people eat. Well, the context would fit that interpretation, because we know that when there's judgment coming on the land, the kind of defining diet that the people consume are curds and honey. The people are going to be reduced. Now, in the previous chapters, Isaiah has lambasted the people of God because they are wealthy and they are prosperous, but they are spiritually poor. Well, the time is coming when they will be physically poor. And yet, I can't help but link the diet of these poor people in verse 22 is almost anticipating the coming of the Messiah earlier in the chapter. Now, I'm sure if you've any modicum of spiritual knowledge, you'll be aware that sometimes when you're poor and you're having to rely upon God, you are far closer to him. And those who are rich, often because they are rich, are far from him. Solomon, of all people, said, "The prosperity of a fool destroys him." Now, if I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't be concentrating tonight, because I'd be thinking, you know, how are my stocks and shares doing right now? And, you know, the markets are opening the other side of the world, and if I can get in and buy that particular stock or that particular gilt, you know, I'm so concerned about my business empire, I have little concern or regards for what happens when I stand before God. And Jesus told the parable of the rich farmer, "Tonight your soul is demanded of you. You are a fool." And, I'm sure many of us want more money than we've got. But God, in his mercy and his grace, often will limit us to curds and honey. It's enough to live off. And the honey might make it palatable, but it is a diet of humility. And often the Lord keeps his people in humble circumstance, that they might learn to trust him and rely on him. However, it continues, "It shall happen in that day that wherever there could be 1,000 vines worth 1,000 shekels of silver," so imagine here a huge vineyard, you know, producing so much wealth year on year on year, a really wonderful business venture, "it will be for briars and thorns." What used to be profitable is now most unprofitable. "With arrows and bows, men will come there." What was once a cultivated vineyard will be so much like a jungle or a wilderness that you'll go there for hunting, maybe, because it's now the haunt of wild animals. Or indeed, you'll take your bow and your arrow to keep yourself safe, because there are animals now in that former vineyard that would hunt and eat you. "All the land will become briars and thorns." And of course, that is an expression of what happened to the earth when Adam was expelled from Eden. The land which produced a wonderful bounty of food, year on year, month on month, is now going to produce thorns and nettles, things which will sting, things which will poison, things which will harm. And this is what is now happening to that wonderful vineyard which used to be. Indeed, any hill which could be dug with the hoe, any hill which is so fertile you could grow crops upon it, if you've got the labour force to dig it, of course, you will not go there for fear of the briars and the thorns. So overgrown and prickly will that once fertile hill be, you will go there no longer. But it will become a range for oxen and a place for sheep to roam. Well, those animals that can survive a, you know, tougher kind of diet, you can't till the ground anymore for food, but you might well have your cow and your sheep up there. In other words, Israel is going to be economically humbled. Now again, I chose that song because I wanted to remind us all that though God is pronouncing judgment upon them here, redemption is also promised. Not least in this very chapter. Though Israel is going to be impoverished by this coming judgment, they are going to be more than enriched by the coming Messiah, whose diet they will share. And again, I think my final point of application would be, do not pursue the wealth of this world. It's a vineyard today, it's a field of briars tomorrow. You've got all your labour force working, growing your crops today. It will only be fit for a cow and two sheep tomorrow. The wealth of this world is vanishing away. Mm-hmm. Now, there could be an economic crash at any moment. House prices could fall. Mm-hmm. Our economy could go bust. All that could happen. But if your wealth is found in Emmanuel, it is untouchable. If your wealth is found in Christ, you are and will be wealthier than any of the billionaires on earth today. Amen. Amen. Amen.